Good evening. Well, oh, we have echo today. Welcome to the October 21st meeting of this Morro Bay Planning Commission. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'd like to also note that we have one planning commissioner absent, Tony DeFazio, but otherwise we have a quorum. Then we start our meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any planning commissioner announcements? Seeing none, moving on. Now's the time for public comment for items which are not on tonight's agenda. Is there anyone with comments that I'd like to make? Seeing none, AGP, is there anybody online with their hand raised?
Chairman, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. Closing public comment. We don't have any previous minutes to approve, so we'll go right to our first presentation. That would be 416 Main Street, minor use permit, MUP 25-03. Eric.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. The case before you tonight is minor use permit, MUP 25-03, which is for a 387 square foot addition to a 571 square foot existing legal non-conforming home in the RH or Residential High District. The project also includes the construction of a new 719 square foot. So the project site is located just north of Eagle Rock in the Morro Heights neighborhood on the corner of Main and Olive Streets. The parcel is zoned RH or High Density Residential and is surrounded by other residentially zoned parcels with a mix of residential densities. So the property features a 12% average slope and is a total of 13,169 square feet in size. Parcels directly adjacent to the north, south, and east are developed with single-family homes, while the parcel across the street to the west is part of the Morro Cove development. Here is a view of the surrounding neighborhood looking west towards that Morro Cove development. So here we have two slightly different renderings of the proposed addition. The one on the left shows a little bit more neighborhood context, while the one on the right shows more of the proposed deck. Through these renderings, we can see how the old design of the home has been given an updated, fresh look while maintaining the essence of the original facade. The design also fits well within the parameters of the Morro Heights community character area, in which it's located, as outlined in Plan Morro Bay. Plan Morro Bay highlights homes that are wood frame and only 1 to 2 stories in height. So here's a table showing the development standards for the RH zoning district. The proposed project meets all of the development standards outlined in the zoning code. Of note, and you'll see this asterisk on the table in two different places, the existing garage recently received approval through CDP 25-009 to be converted into an ADU. Per state law, this means they're not required to provide any replacement parking, but as we saw in the renderings, there remains plenty of space for off-street. So apart from the zoning code, residential development is reviewed under the city's residential design guidelines, which were adopted in 2015. These guidelines work in tandem with the development standards mentioned before, and the project has been reviewed accordingly. More details on these can be found in the staff report. So because the home was constructed prior to the city's incorporation in 1964, the existing home's considered legal non-conforming. Detached single-unit dwellings are permitted in the RH zone with the approval of a minor use permit, but that's if site characteristics preclude multifamily development. In this case, site characteristics do not preclude multifamily development, but as we'll see in a moment, the addition's been designed to allow for future multifamily development. The zoning code also provides a means for the single family home to obtain conforming status through the approval of a minor use permit. The reason that this MUP was raised to the Planning Commission is because it presents an interesting policy consideration, and that's whether or not to allow for additions to legal non-conforming homes or structures that are not meeting minimum density if the addition itself does not preclude multifamily. So as mentioned, here's a site plan showing the remaining developable envelope after the proposed addition. That's represented by the blue area, and the red dashed line represents the property lines. And then quickly, based on a public comment that we received, staff recommends adding the following sentence to the end of condition 53 on Planning Commission Resolution 0625. Just to guarantee that lighting will conform to the requirements of the zoning code for the entire life and duration of the project. And with that, it's staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission approve MUP 25-03 by adopting Planning Commission Resolution number 0625, which includes attached findings and condition.
Yep. Do we have any questions for staff? No?
I have one question, and it relates to the policy, and it's sort of, I guess it's sort of hypothetical. So if this property were presented as being much more ambitious and larger, so that it was sufficiently large that it would preclude the minimum of four units on the property, would we be required to then reject the project, or is there some kind of discretionary? Well, you know, I don't even, if it's a difficult question. I realize it's a difficult question to answer, and that's the that's my concern in terms of the policy. So that, well, so the, I guess the preliminary question, but the change in zoning density, does anybody know what year that was enacted?
The RH zoning?
Yeah.
The property has been zoned for high density residential, at least starting with the 1997 zoning code. I'm not sure what the zoning density was before that. And R3. And to answer your question, I think if a project was brought before staff that would preclude future multifamily development, that staff would not be able to recommend approval of that.
Okay. John, any?
Could you just go over that red line again, please? You did it so fast, I just added something to the
report. The lighting change?
Oh, yeah. So lighting plans are a standard condition on all projects. We received public comment prior to the meeting that was concerned about it, so we just added a little extra.
Mary, any questions? Nope. I had a brief question about the siding, which staff answered for me earlier because it's somewhat of a conflict. The siding is actually horizontal siding. There was a place where it mentioned it was vertical, but it's horizontal as per the applicant's plans. And then my next question, they've already answered, but I'll ask just for the sake of the public. Is there any record of lighting complaints on this property?
No, we've never received one.
Thank you. Those are my questions. So we're ready for any applicant presentation. Would the applicant like to speak? You don't have to, but you're welcome to.
Sure, why not? First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight, because I know it's opening night for NBA, and you'd rather be watching that. So thank you. My name is Nelson Bernal with NRB Drafting, and I'm representing Noah Harpster, who is the owner of the property, which he purchased. I'm not sure how long he's actually owned the property. His mother actually lives in town, and he lives down in the LA area. So basically, he bought this property is just to kind of stay at a place when he visited his mom. He can kind of go there and just hang out. And obviously, the home is not in safe conditions to occupy. So he's been working with actually a developer in Santa Barbara originally on this project for like 2 or 3 years, and they basically got nowhere with it. So he hired our company to help continue the processing for him. Used a lot of the original development that the company in Santa Barbara used, little tweaks here and there with the contractor's help and whatnot. And I just want to let you know that he's not, you know, he's a real mellow individual. He's not a noisemaker. He's very respective of, you know, the city of Morro Bay. And he's really essentially just trying to improve that home, because that is a main thoroughfare on Morro Bay. And I think it's really going to make a great improvement. All the people that come in this area on the weekends especially, they're going to kind of notice this improvement and say, oh, wow, I'm glad that somebody finally did something with that property. I know that there's a couple of other properties up in that general vicinity that hopefully they're going to be doing the same thing and follow suit. Again, I don't know how soon the owner is going to propose any additional structures on the project. I think, you know, he's been faced with a lot of additional expenses on this project that he wasn't expecting. So that kind of is, you know, being sucked up in any future developments at this time. But if hopefully he does something in the future, you know, we'll keep with the same character of the existing buildings, property, and most likely put curb gutter, sidewalk, landscape, and all that kind of fun stuff too. Are there any questions for me?
Anyone have a question for you? Nope. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And so then anyone from the public have a comment they'd like to make on this project? Seeing none, AGP, do we have any raised hands online from the public?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Okay, I'll close public comment and bring it back to staff. Do you have any responses to anything, or are we ready for just our general opinions up here? Mary, would you like to start?
Sure. My thinking is that we shouldn't let perfect be the enemy of good, and I think this would be a great improvement to obey, and we should encourage this development, especially because I see it as a two-way door in that it's not going to prohibit future increased density on the lot.
John?
I completely agree. I lived here for 29 years, looked at that house twice a day for 29 years, going up and down to my business, and I think it's a great thing to improve. The only comment I wanted to make, you made a comment about sidewalk and curb and gutter. That's not on the any of the plans. Is that happening?
That is not a part of this project scope, okay, but so future multifamily okay. could trigger okay. Frontage improvements.
I just wanted to really get that clarified. Okay, thank you.
Joe?
I just had a minor difficulty with it, and it has nothing to do with the actual design of the project, but which is why I asked when the increased density was enacted, because I could imagine a property owner or the successor through an inheritance property owner who decided that he might like to enlarge his house because of expanded family or enlarge the house because of, you know, retirement from another location, and definitely had acquired title before this change in density, and would be prohibited from doing that. And I suspect that when the change was enacted, it was enacted to encourage people to have multifamily development, or to sell the property to a developer who might do that, and it wasn't intended to prevent people who might otherwise just want to expand on a home that they'd had for a long time. And I just wonder if we might consider making some modifications or suggesting some modifications to the provisions to allow for people who had owned the property before the change in density was made to still give them an opportunity, if they wanted to enjoy the property by enlarging it. I don't think the occasions of that being a reality would be very much, so I don't think it would really undercut the underlying purpose, which was to increase, you know, multi-res.
We have an opportunity, I think, coming up with the zoning code amendment to maybe bring that up as a discussion topic. Is that appropriate, maybe, Erlen?
So I think what you're referring to is our annual general plan progress report,
yes.
Where we're talking about our, you know,
activities to implement the general plan, including potential zoning code amendment. So that would be an appropriate time to bring that up as a suggestion. Then we would forward that suggestion on to the city council. I will note that it's not typical to amend the zoning code or to establish zoning standards that really tie to the specific owner and whether or not they own the property, you know, before or after a change went forward. Also, from a policy standpoint, like you correctly mentioned, Commissioner Ingraffia, really the intent of minimum density is we have a limited supply of land zoned for residential high density, and we want to be able to preserve that land to actually achieve the number of units that are envisioned to be developed in those higher density areas. So there could be a conflict there.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and certainly with respect to vacant land, there is no objection, but I sometimes am aware of, you know, a property owner and their right to really enjoy the property, and part of that enjoyment might be, you know, some time to expand it. And while I fully understand that anyone who bought property subsequent to the enactment of the higher density, you know, has notice or constructive notice and should be aware of that when they purchased the property, but for the people who had title before it was passed, suddenly their plans or the plans of their successor would be, you know, severely affected. That's all.
I would just add too, again, thank you for the comment, Commissioner Ingraffia, because this is something that at the staff level we discuss quite a bit. There have been a number of projects that you know, on the face are pretty good projects where a community member just wants to do a minor addition or alteration that's really going to improve, you know, the property, improve the neighborhood, but the minimum density requirements occasionally will create some challenges for that. And so that's why instead of just approving this minor use permit at the staff level, we wanted to elevate it to Planning Commission so there could be this public discussion on that.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate that it was brought to us because it is a situation where if there were no house on this property, it would be a different discussion altogether. But the fact that this old house is there and the applicant's just making a relatively minor addition, well, it major respect with respect to the fact that it's only a 500 square foot house going to an 800 square foot house, but 300 and something square feet is pretty minor addition. And it is appropriate that I think the Planning Commission review projects like that just in case this was a 3,500 square foot addition to a 500 square foot house, which then we might have something really to talk about because it would take over a lot more of the lot. But I agree with my co-commissioners that it's somewhat punitive to require the owner of a 500 square foot house to build two additional residences so that we can let him have a 300 square foot addition. And I'm ready for a motion unless there's any further discussion.
I can move that we adopt Resolution PC06-25, allowing a minor use permit of MUP 25-03, 387-foot addition.
With the addition of the lighting condition that was added.
Lighting condition, yeah.
I'll second it.
Okay, you want to call the roll?
Commissioner Solu?
Yes.
Commissioner Wachowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Yes.
And Chairperson Meyer?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
So, thank you very much. Do we have any points from you, Erlen, tonight?
Yeah, we do. So, good evening, Chair Meyer, Commissioners. I do have some updates, mostly looking just ahead at future agendas. We have a pretty busy crew in the Community Development Department, so between now and the end of the year, we have an agenda item pretty much every week between City Council, Planning Commission, and the Waterfront Master Plan. So next Tuesday, there'll be a City Council hearing to introduce the 2025 building code update, including the Wildland Urban Interface Code is going to now be incorporated into the municipal code since the city, based on updated maps from the state fire marshal, will have a high and very high fire hazard severity zones, which would trigger the need for incorporating the WUI code, Wildland Urban Interface Code, into our building code. Looking ahead further on November 5th, so that's a Wednesday, we're going to have the next Planning Commission meeting. Technically, that's a special meeting because it's not a regularly scheduled Tuesday meeting that has to be moved to Wednesday the 5th because the 4th is Election Day, and the Vets Hall is not available because it's a polling location. So Wednesday, November 5th, the agenda item, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be the General Plan Annual Progress Report. Then the next day, we have a WMPAC meeting, Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, and the focus of that meeting is going to be, one, to prepare for the Waterfront Master Plan Workshop, which is scheduled for November 18th, and two, to review the review of the 1996 Waterfront Master Plan. So our consultant has done a pretty thorough evaluation of the current 1996 Waterfront Master Plan, identified all of the proposals in that plan, and has created a matrix of, for each proposal, which one has been completed, which one's in progress, and just the status on each one. And that, so we're gonna review that first with the WMPAC on November 6th, and then that'll be a big focus also of that public workshop on November 18th. Then November 12th, we're gonna be presenting to the City Council on the city's funding recommendations for our community development block grant allocation from the county. Then November 18th, we have that Waterfront Master Plan workshop held here at the Vets Hall, 6 p.m. Please get the word out. We have flyers that were recently created by our consultant, so I'll be going around town handing out flyers. We're also going to, I'll be at the farmer's market on Saturday, along with some other city departments, handing out flyers to the public to promote that workshop. We want to get as many people as possible to participate in that process. Then December 4th, we have another WMPAC meeting. The focus of that meeting is going to be on the economic study and the circulation study for the Waterfront Master Plan. And then December 12th, last meeting of the year at City Council, we're going to present the General Plan Progress Report to the Council. So under state law, we have to take the General Plan Progress Report to Council, but we're going to bring it first to Planning Commission to get your review, and any recommendations you have will forward on to the City Council. And that concludes my staff updates. I'm available for questions if you have any.
When is our next meeting? The 5th?
Next meeting is November 5th, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so, and that after that, is there any other Planning Commission meetings? It's so many meetings.
I know. November 5th is the last one that we currently have scheduled with any agenda items at this point.
Okay. And thank you. Mary, did you have a comment about future agenda items?
Oh, yes. I was going to request, in our last meeting, we were discussing setbacks and a zoning change that changed the setbacks that were required, and I was hoping that we could put that on the future agenda item, as a future agenda item.
This is regarding the old 5-foot or 7-foot setback for garages.
Right. I think my recommendation last time is similar to the comment that we had earlier this evening from Commissioner Ingraffia. I think an appropriate venue for that would be the next meeting, where we review the General Plan Progress Report, because that includes potential zoning code amendments that the commission would like to see.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I think we are finished. Good evening. The meeting's adjourned.